Stay warm and save every day. All in the Kroger app. Get select Post cereal or Kroger peanut butter for $1.49 each with a digital coupon. And we've lowered prices. Save 15% or more on hundreds of items like Thomas Mini Bagels, Campbell's SpaghettiOs, and more. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is it, ladies and gentlemen. This weekend, Toronto, Ontario, Canada, the Elimination Chamber. Here we go. The countdown has started. And quite frankly, what are we waiting for the most? Well, Cody's answer. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another edition of Ringside Chaos. This, ladies and gentlemen, is the professional wrestling discussion segment of the Bear of Texas podcast and Paint Train Pipe Bomb Productions. My name is Alex Alcazaz, and I'm also known as the Bear of Texas. And before I get started, let me announce that I will be on Pipe Bomb Radio later this week on Friday. You can find Pipe Bomb Radio on Spotify, but we'll be live on the 6ix9ine Radio on the Zeno app. So ladies and gentlemen, be sure to get the app. I'll be live at 11 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, which is 10 o'clock my time. Me and Ricky Litwickwich will be entertaining y'all. It's going to be a hell of a show. So be sure that y'all tune in. That's on the Zeno app, Pipe Bomb Radio, 6ix9ine Radio. Ladies and gentlemen, it's going to be great. 11 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, which is 10 o'clock my time. It will be entertaining. So what are you waiting for? Get the app. Get the Zeno app. Find 6ix9ine Radio, part of Paint Train Pipe Bomb Productions. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a lot of content for you to be excited about. Just like this show. So, ladies and gentlemen, first things first, my question to you is, did you enjoy this evening's Monday Night Raw? Well, I definitely did. Now, to be honest with you, me going step by step, like every single thing that happened on an episode, sometimes I'm really just not feeling that. Quite frankly, the biggest question I have, well, is clearly from the segment we saw last week on SmackDown between the final boss, the People's Champ himself, The Rock, and, of course, our current champion, Cody. Well, I gotta be honest with you. I mean, from that rivalry with the Bloodline and then The Rock disappearing after WrestleMania, you know, if I'm correct, I think it was at Bad Blood after Roman Reigns teamed up with Cody. The Rock came out, you know, even gave a throat slash gesture to Cody. We thought things would just continue to get better. But then not long after, The Rock turned face again and, you know, everybody was just so confused. I mean, I was pretty confused, to be honest with you. But last Friday, things went a little bit farther, and The Rock making an offer to Cody. And, of course, it ended by saying, he told Cody, at first Cody thought that Rock wanted the belt, but Rock says, no, I want your soul. And I feel like The Rock kind of gave us a little Attitude Era nostalgic moment. Because we remember back in 1999, when The Rock was the corporate champion. When, you know, remember Vince McMahon's evil corporation? The Rock was the corporate champ. It's giving me a little bit of vibes from those particular days. Now, some fans, other fans would see it different, but again, we all see things different. That's just the unique concept of pro wrestling fans. Different views, different opinions, different views on certain outcomes, yada, yada, yada. Wrestling fans are all unique. Well, if you haven't seen the segment, go see it for yourself. You know, Bleacher Report wasn't too impressed with it. You know, one of the main talking points from that one, according to Bleacher Report, was that The Rock was basically moving back and forth from a babyface perspective to a heel perspective. But we're expected to hear Cody's answer this weekend at the Elimination Chamber. Well, now I'm getting a little bit ahead, but then again, you know, sometimes you just get caught up. So Cody has another segment, and this time Seth Rollins joins in. Seth Rollins basically kind of gave us a rundown, a reminder of everything that he and Cody have been through since, well, in Seth's perspective, since Cody came back, but Cody basically brought up everything going back to over 10 years, you know, the Shield, when the Shield feuded with the Brotherhood, which was Goldust and Cody Rhodes, and we remember that. So Seth Rollins tells Cody, do not sell out. And basically, Seth Rollins said the fact that you didn't slap The Rock right on the spot was a slap to the face to me. Because Seth Rollins reminds us that he helped Cody win that title, which he did. But of course, Cody decides to go in a certain route, saying, "You're telling me not to sell out, but you yourself have sold out before." And Seth Rollins is basically saying, "Look, I mean, Cody basically said, you know, that you're judging me." But Seth insists, "I'm not here to judge you. I'm just trying to tell you, don't make the same mistakes that I've made." And Seth Rollins warned Cody, "Don't make me hate you." So as you can see, I was clearly entertained and completely blown away with that segment between Cody and Seth Rollins. Y'all know me, a good promo, a good in-ring segment. Hey, if it's great and I'm entertained, I will be dying to talk about it. Thankfully, I can do so on this program. So, honestly, at this point, I just can't say exactly, I can't tell you how excited I am about Cody delivering his answer. Now, my friend Ricky and I briefly spoke about it when he was doing one of his lives. I figured we might as well, we'll probably talk about it when I do the show with Ricky this coming week. Of course, it's 6ix9ine Radio on the Zeno FM app. So, again, y'all be sure to download Zeno and, of course, look for 6ix9ine Radio. You see, as everybody knows, I predicted Cody turning heel. But in this particular situation, it seems like it's going to be in a, well, a different perspective. Okay? Because as y'all know, the way I predicted it would be Cody loses to John Cena at WrestleMania, Cody becomes champion again at SummerSlam, you know, delivers a low blow to Cena, and then wins the title back. That's the way I predicted it. It might still go down that way, but who knows? I mean, The Rock said, and I didn't mention this already, but The Rock says he wants Cody to be his champion. So again, that's why it's giving me the vibes of, you know, the Attitude Era when The Rock was the corporate champion. He was Mr. McMahon's corporate champion. So it's just giving me those particular vibes. So as far as I'm concerned, the whole Cody, Rock, and Seth Rollins thing, I mean, it only just got better. Cody is going to find out who he's going to defend his title against at WrestleMania. And we'll get to that. I'll give my Elimination Chamber predictions, and I'm sure I'll kind of basically regroup a little bit. But Monday Night Raw was not kicked off by Seth Rollins and Cody. I just wanted to actually talk about that because I've not actually given my thoughts on the whole segment between Cody and The Rock from last week on Friday Night SmackDown. Well, I can honestly say, well, Logan Paul kicking off the show, getting out that heat, that heel heat, getting the boos. Of course, you know, he doesn't like Cincinnati, and of course, Cincinnati, he referred Cincinnati as wasting talent, telling them, "Look what y'all did to Joe Burrow." Hey, you know what? That's why it's fun to be the heel, right? Of course, who comes out but CM Punk? You see, this is just making me more and more and more confident about the potential program, the WrestleMania program between Logan Paul and CM Punk. Now, I did say I would put a little bit of Elimination Chamber predictions, but everybody knows about this Elimination Chamber prediction that I've already made, and I've actually insisted on it several times on this program. As a matter of fact, I've been talking about it for weeks. I said that we will see Logan Paul versus CM Punk at WrestleMania. And I said that this whole thing is already started, but it's only to get better at the Elimination Chamber. Because I said that CM Punk in the match would eliminate Logan Paul, but later on, Logan Paul would come back and cause CM Punk's elimination. That's just the way I see it, but that doesn't mean it's going to happen. That doesn't mean it's going to happen, but I'm just very, very confident that we're going to see CM Punk versus Logan Paul at the Royal Rumble. Now, the way the segment went between the two was so good. And when a segment goes so well, you have to come up with the perfect ending. And we saw that. What did Logan Paul do, ladies and gentlemen? He slapped CM Punk and then hightailed it. What else would you expect from a heel? Man. I swear to you, Logan Paul, and I've said this before and I'll say it again. Whether you like the guy or not, you cannot deny that he is a master with the promos and he's a great in-ring worker. I mean, he's a draw. So, it's clear to me that WWE Creative is going to want to basically pick up the pace with Logan Paul and CM Punk. Well, the next stop is Elimination Chamber. And again, Well, we're going to see something. As I said, as I suggested, I mean, this is, if it was up to me, it would go like this, but this is what I'm predicting. Again, CM Punk eliminates Paul, but Paul later comes back and attacks Punk or does whatever and causes Punk to be eliminated from the Elimination Chamber. So ultimately, Logan Paul costs CM Punk his opportunity to go to WrestleMania to challenge for the championship. And if they want to add more heat to Logan Paul, I mean, this would be the way to do it. And of course, this would also help elevate CM Punk a little bit more to get over as a babyface, even though CM Punk is clearly over already. But then again, if you're gonna attempt to draw more heat on Logan Paul, you're going to have to do it to the point where CM Punk gets more sympathy as the babyface. That's just how it goes. CM Punk's words, and I quote, "We are legends. We are history makers." Of course, he was describing himself and John Cena, and he called Logan Paul, quote, "You're barely a flash in the pan." Again, you gotta go back and forth. The heel cuts his promo, attacking the babyface, and the babyface responds. I mean, that's just how it goes. CM Punk warned Logan Paul, and I quote, "I will make history, and you will be history," unquote. Well, check this out. It even gets better, and I quote, "You're not going to be here long enough for them to figure out who you are or to remember who you are," unquote. Another pipe bomb dropped by CM Punk. That's what CM Punk does. He drops a pipe bomb. Remember 2011? Yeah. Dropping pipe bombs. That's CM Punk for you, and we love it. We love CM Punk. So that's that. Well, after that, it was followed by a triple threat match between Pete Dunne, Ludwig Kaiser, and Penta. Well, you talk about a promo. Ludwig Kaiser cut a promo before the match. Fantastic. And Ludwig Kaiser is the one who went over in this match. Now, Penta was not pinned. But I didn't expect Penta to actually come up short in this one. But I figured, well, because Ludwig Kaiser had to go over in this one. So now I'm thinking, are we going to see Ludwig Kaiser versus Penta at WrestleMania? I mean, I don't know what's going on here. I'm pretty sure I flirted with the idea of this triple threat match happening at WrestleMania, but it happened on Monday Night Raw. Or maybe I actually teased it that it would happen here on Monday Night Raw. Sorry, y'all. Sometimes my memory is just not too good. But the triple threat match, Penta versus Ludwig Kaiser versus Pete Dunne. Highly entertaining. I mean, the crowd was chanting, "This is awesome." And again, I was a bit surprised that Penta didn't win, but then again, I was like, you know what? I'm surprised, but not surprised, because I just felt that Ludwig Kaiser was the one to go over in this one, because he had to get over. So, and the finish to the match, too, and especially the way Pete Dunne sold this particular move, I always forget what this move is called, but y'all know what I'm talking about, but when the Bruiserweight sold it the way he did, man, I mean, not long ago in Penta's debut, Chad Gable sold that particular move in a very, very unique way. But I tell y'all, I just keep forgetting the name of that move. I mean, it seems to me like my memory's just been messing with me a little bit as of late, because I don't remember if I teased the triple threat match at WrestleMania or if it was going to happen tonight, but man. But this match was back and forth. It was a thriller. I mean, it was a very kick-ass triple threat match. A very, very kick-ass match. And Ludwig Kaiser going over on this one, you know what? I think it was actually the right call. I really think it was the right call. Now, thankfully, Penta wasn't pinned. I mean, I know that WWE Creative was not going to have Penta pinned, because that would be very, very bad. But, you know, things are going very, very good. And, you know, I'm certainly looking forward to see what happens next between Penta, Ludwig Kaiser, and the Bruiserweight, Pete Dunne. So, hell of a match. Now, you know, the interview between Rhea Ripley and Jackie Redmond, well, as we know, next week after the Elimination Chamber, we're going to see Io Sky versus Rhea Ripley. Rhea Ripley, of course, reminded us that she's never beaten Io Sky. So Rhea Ripley is going to first find out who she could possibly be facing at WrestleMania, and the next night she defends her title. So that's very, very exciting for Rhea Ripley, quite frankly, and it's exciting for us fans as well. So she finds out who she could possibly defend her title against, and the next night, she defends the title against Io Sky. Well, certainly looking forward to that. LWO versus The New Day. Well, I'm not surprised The New Day went over on that in this match. Bleacher Report gave it a C+. Well, I think, you know, what really was kind of catch off guard, supposedly situation. I don't know if it's a catch off guard or caught off guard scenario. The LWO started off hot, but ended up losing the match. But then again, that will happen. I mean, the baby faces start off hot, and then they come up short. I think it was the post-match beatdown, too, that was a little bit seen the wrong way. So, now first, the LWO is getting, it gets attacked. Dragon Lee comes out to make the save. At first, it looks like he makes the save, but he gets attacked and gets taken down as well. I mean, the whole thing was to make New Day look a little bit stronger. So, the New Day had to get over, because the New Day is going to be featured at WrestleMania. Now, I did mention they would face the LWO again at WrestleMania, Rey Mysterio, and possibly Dragon Lee versus the New Day at WrestleMania. And, of course, I'm sure I teased Big E will come out. Supposedly, you know, I even supposedly teased the idea that Big E, the whole thing's a swerve. Big E comes out to supposedly help the LWO, but turns out that he comes out to help the New Day, and then the New Day's reunited, and the whole thing's a ruse. Well, hey, if that were to happen, well, it certainly worked. It certainly worked. But not much to say about the match between the New Day and the LWO. Not the best match, but certainly not the worst. But it's good to see that the New Day is being built up, of course, as part of the road to WrestleMania, because they have to continue to be over as the heels, because there's obviously a program that's happening. And, well, as far as how it's going to conclude, well, we'll wait and see. Akira Tozawa versus Gunther. By the way, I kind of said that I was never feeling about going step by step in this particular show. But here I am. It seemed that I was not confident that I'd be able to make it through point by point from everything that happened on this episode of Raw. But it seems that my confidence has been regained. I swear to God, sometimes I just doubt myself too much. And then I prove myself wrong. And we all know who the glory goes to in that one. And that's not me, ladies and gentlemen. Well, Akira Tozawa versus Gunther. Well, earlier on, we did see Gunther backstage, and then we saw the Alpha Academy do this particular thing, as Gunther labeled it a TikTok dance. So that's why he actually made the invitation to Akira Tozawa to do what he claims, you know, earn his respect, to earn Gunther's respect. Gunther being the heel, you know, pushes to Akira Tozawa, and of course, Gunther, of course, ends up winning. I mean, they weren't going to have Gunther lose to Akira Tozawa, right? Man. But Akira Tozawa did get a little bit of offense in this one, and you know, at one point, you know, a couple of strikes, you know, a couple of good moves. Gunther recuperates, and of course, you know, delivers a beatdown, and, well, the way the match ended, well, the power bomb, it could have been ended for the pin, but Gunther being the heel, nope, he didn't want to win by pinfall. So, wait, went, well, in a sleeper hold, and, well, Akira Tozawa was out. The match actually got a B+. It got a higher grade than the New Day versus the LWO. Man. And according to Bleacher Report, this match was a bit of a reminiscent of the criminally underrated match between Triple H and Taka Michinoku back on Raw's War back in 2000. Man. I don't remember that match. I really don't, but it's obvious that WWE Creative really wanted Tozawa to get a couple moves in. I mean, when the match, you know, when I saw that it was going to be Tozawa versus Gunther, I expected Gunther to just easily destroy Akira Tozawa. I just figured this would be an easy squash. Now, some would say this was a bit of a squash, but hey, Akira Tozawa got enough offense for the match to not be considered a squash, but some insist that the match was a squash. Label the match any way you like. I really don't think a squash is really the way to do it, because again, Akira Tozawa got a bit of offense in. Clearly, after the match, Tozawa was, I think, put back in the sleeper hold, and then Otis makes the save supposedly, but Otis himself gets attacked and gets put in the sleeper until Jey Uso came out, but Gunther hightailed it. So that tells me that next week we're going to see Gunther versus Otis, and I think the same thing is going to happen. Except Otis might get a little bit more offense. I mean, at first, he might actually get a couple moves in to kind of look a little bit strong. And then Gunther recuperates and then turns the tables and then destroys Otis. But now, if Otis was squashed in this one, I mean, this would look very, very bad for Otis. But I expect this. I expect Otis versus Gunther to happen next week. And I expect the match to go in a similar fashion. Otis might get a little bit more offense than Tozawa, but regardless of the situation, I think Otis is going to lose within the sleeper hold. It would actually be interesting. You know, some would say it would be better if Gunther actually beat Otis by pinfall, considering the ring general power bombing Otis and then pinning him. Well, it would certainly look better for Gunther, and it wouldn't look too good for Otis. So I got to ask y'all, is it better for Otis to be powerbombed and pinned 1-2-3, or is it better for Otis to lose with a sleeper hold? The Women's Intercontinental Championship match, Lyra Valkyria versus Dakota Kai. Well, props once again to Dakota Kai for putting over Lyra Valkyria. Props to both women for a fantastic match. Well, I felt that Ivy Nile would be involved in this match. Now, I mean, she was involved in it at the end when she appeared on the ramp, attacked Dakota Kai, and then attacked Lyra Valkyria. I mean, I expected Ivy Nile to get involved during the match. So, clearly, I think at WrestleMania, we could very well see Ivy Nile compete for the WWE Women's Intercontinental Championship. Now, to be honest with you, if Ivy Nile was crowned champion at WrestleMania, well, would be something, but as far as the whole Chad Gable situation, I'm not entirely sure when Chad Gable will make his return. I would feel like it's going to be next week. I don't know. But the match between Lyra Valkyria and Dakota Kai was just, you know, great as ever. And I didn't expect Dakota Kai to become champion tonight. So I can honestly say once again that this match was terrific. Absolutely terrific. What happened post-match clearly tells the story, because again, you know, I've teased several times that Ivy Nile, she's in the WWE Women's Intercontinental Championship picture. I think later on that night, when she was with the Creed Brothers were attacked by the War Raiders. So clearly, the War Raiders versus the Creed Brothers, it's still a program that's happening. It's going to happen at WrestleMania, and as I said several weeks ago, the Creed Brothers will win the tag team titles at WrestleMania. And could you imagine Ivy Nile wins the Women's Intercontinental Championship and the Creed Brothers become the WWE Tag Team Champions? Hey, you know what? And then the next night, Chad Gable returns. Well, hey, look at that. Look at that. So, the match between Lyra Valkyria and Dakota Kai also got This Is Awesome chance, which, rightfully so. Again, I'm telling you, Lyra Valkyria and Dakota Kai have such brilliant chemistry. It's teamwork that makes the dream work, ladies and gentlemen. Lyra Valkyria and Dakota Kai worked a hell of a match, wrestled a hell of a match. They did it together along with creative. So I'm curious who produced the match. This, again, a team effort. Through the producers, the creative, the writers, the competitors, hell, even the fans, because of how invested they were, it all worked out well. Hopefully, we'll see another match like this again in the future. I'm sure we will. I'm definitely sure we will see Lyra Valkyria versus Dakota Kai again. Braun Breaker versus Dominic Mysterio. This match really wasn't good. I mean, Breaker winning by disqualification. Well, they say that, of course, if Dominic Mysterio jobs out once again and jobs out to Braun Breaker, that'll certainly make Mysterio look weak. Although a lot of fans would certainly love to see that. To be honest with you, I'm surprised that the Intercontinental title was not on the line on this one. Somehow I felt that, you know what, Dominic Mysterio challenging for the title probably would have made the match a whole lot more exciting. But of course, last week, Braun Breaker speared Dominic Mysterio, aimed for AJ Styles, but went after, but instead hit Dirty Dom. So clearly, because this match ended in a disqualification, that tells me that we have not seen the last of Dirty Dom versus Braun Breaker. I would imagine the next time those two go at it, it's definitely going to be for the Intercontinental Championship. But, of course, Bleacher Report is asking if Mysterio is officially the next challenger for the Intercontinental Championship or if it's Finn Balor. So, because we saw how the match ended, again, Dominic Mysterio was disqualified. And, of course, it was 3-on-1, but Braun Breaker overcame that. And after he disposed of Dominic and Carlito, well, before that, Finn Balor was out of the ring getting a chair, and then Braun Breaker and Finn Balor certainly went face-to-face, and Finn Balor had a chair, so. And that tells me that I think next we're going to see Finn Balor versus Braun Breaker, and I wouldn't be surprised if this ended in another disqualification again. So, because they would say that if Braun Breaker pins Finn Balor, I mean, Finn Balor, you know, got pinned by Seth Rollins in that qualifying match, which So they would say that if Finn Balor got pinned again, it would certainly make him look bad. But again, I think two disqualification finishes in a row, especially two disqualification wins for Bron Breakker, wrestling fans would be critical of that as well. So, yeah, the match just, it wasn't fun. And Breakker, of course, showing off that athleticism, that speed, and that agility. Man, of course, oh man, that Frankensteiner off the top rope, my goodness, that Hurricanrana, that was amazing. Bron Breakker is just so severely underrated. He is one hell of a worker. Bron Breakker is one hell of a worker. I've said this before. Let me say it again. Bron Breakker has a strong future with WWE. He has a huge future in professional wrestling. Hey, it's only a matter of time before he reaches main event status. We have to see how things continue to go. And there's no doubt in my mind, Bron Breakker will continue to be dominant. I'm very, very excited to see what the future has in store for Bron Breakker. So to close out this part, man, the face-to-face between Breakker and Balor. You know what? Could you imagine if we see Balor versus Breakker at WrestleMania for the Intercontinental Championship? And then after that, the implosion of the Judgment Day really takes into effect. Now, we're still about 2 months away from WrestleMania, so some insist that the implosion of the Judgment Day is going to be right before, but I figured if Finn Balor unsuccessfully challenges Bron Breakker for the Intercontinental Championship at WrestleMania, and then in the coming weeks, the tensions continue to get worse and worse and worse, especially for Balor. Balor ends up getting kicked out of the group. Well, we'll see now. Getting a little ahead of myself, but Raquel Rodriguez and Liv Morgan are the new women's tag team champions. So at this point, yeah, it seems that it's getting more and more clear that Finn Balor is going to be ousted from the group. He's getting this talk of a new member, but Finn Balor is saying, no, 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 we are not bringing in another member. So, of course, that would insist that Finn Balor is on his way out. Listen, I'm looking at Cody responding to The Rock. I already spoke about that, but of course, as I mentioned, Rollins, the quote, don't make me hate you, Cody Rhodes. Man, and I already spoke about that, so, man. Just the way Rollins warns him, don't make me hate you. Man, I think right now in Rollins' case, Cody probably has to be the last thing that's got to be on Rollins' mind because he's going to have to deal with the tribal chief, Roman Reigns, soon, because Roman Reigns has been out of action since the Rumble. After Rollins took him out with those two stomps, one of which, of course, was on the steel steps. And the segment between Rollins and Rhodes got an A+, and rightfully so. Man. Again, but when Rollins said, the fact that you didn't slap him in the face is a slap in my face, Rollins told Rhodes. Man. And then Rhodes even countered by saying at one point, and I quote, perhaps he didn't ask you for your soul because your soul is already compromised, unquote. And Rollins, you know, as he said, he mentioned, I'm not here to judge you, that he even insisted that maybe I'm out here to protect you from making the same mistakes I made all those years ago. But, man, and he tells him that he's been filled with hate lately. You know, of course, the whole thing with Reigns and CM Punk. But he tells Cody, I don't want to hate you. Don't make me hate you, Cody Rhodes. And Rollins, of course, insists that he's going to win the Elimination Chamber, and he closed it out by saying, and I quote, I'm not coming for your soul, but I am coming for your title, unquote. Well, that was the second warning. So there were two warnings issued to Cody Rhodes by Seth Rollins. Number one, Rollins warned Cody Rhodes not to make him hate him. Number two, Rollins warned Cody that he doesn't want Cody's soul, but he wants that title. Rollins wants to become champion once again. And of course, I'll give my favorites again once I get done talking about this match. The main event, rightfully so, the WWE Women's Tag Team title match. Bianca Belair and Naomi versus Liv Morgan and Raquel Rodriguez. Well, we talk about a thriller of a match between Lyra Valkyria and Dakota Kai and, of course, the triple threat match. Well, I'm not too sure if thriller was really the word to describe Lyra Valkyria versus Dakota Kai. I mean, that was certainly the case in the finals to crown the inaugural Women's Intercontinental Championship. But we talk about a thriller. We did see a thriller match in the triple threat match. So kind of say it like that. But Man, I gotta say, this being the main event, just it made perfect sense. And I had a feeling that we would see new WWE tag team, women's tag team champions. Because, you know, the whole storyline, Jade Cargill was attacked and all like that. So clearly we're going to find out soon just who was responsible. So I got to ask everybody, are we still feeling that that Bianca Belair is on her way to turning face? Excuse me, is on her way to turning heel? Seriously. I mean, several times on the show I said that, yep, it's definitely Bianca Belair who's responsible. But you know, there's others, of course, you know, that say that they were. Or some people say that it was somebody else. But, you know, of course, this is all storyline. But, man. And the match got an A. This match got an A, but not an A+. But it got an A, and rightfully so. But as far as the whole storyline involving Jade Cargill, you know, I said many times that I expect that Bianca Belair is going to be, of course, depicted as the one who did it. It turned out that it was her. Some say it was Naomi. I mean, I don't know. I mean, for some reason, I thought that Jade Cargill would actually make a return tonight and appear in this match. Especially after, you know, it would have made sense that after Bianca Belair and Naomi lose the titles, after that, Jade Cargill comes out and basically appears on the ramp and sends a message. Like, sends a signal or something like that. That would have actually been interesting, so. Man. So, of course, Dirty Dom got involved. What else do you expect? But the near falls, again, this match was a thriller. The near falls, how the champions supposedly were basically overcoming all the heel tactics that were being thrown at them. Man, again, this match was just so massively underrated. Very well produced. I mean, I'm curious to know who produced this match. You know, I'm curious to know who produced the triple threat match from earlier. So I'm really hoping within the next week we find out who was the producer, who are the producers for these matches. But, you know, part of me, I believe that it makes sense for Liv Morgan and Raquel Rodriguez to become the champions. Now, that would tell me clearly that Liv Morgan is not going to win the Women's Elimination Chamber. Now, not that I expect her to, and this is not a knock on Liv Morgan, but for Morgan and Raquel Rodriguez to become champions, I mean, some would say this is just to kind of rebuild the Judgment Day. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I don't know if that's the case, but Liv Morgan and Raquel Rodriguez are the first ever three-time women's tag team champions. So it was good to see on a night that women's wrestling really prospered in this one. And again, we saw the great match between Lyra Valkyria and Dakota Kai. And then we see Liv Morgan and Raquel Rodriguez, along with Naomi and Bianca Belair, put on a hell of a match as well. Of course, next week, I'm excited about the match between Rhea Ripley and Io Sky for the championship. Of course, the night after Elimination Chamber. So, the way the match went, I mean, especially, you know, again, all the near falls when Belair kicked out of the Codebreaker, man. But I think, you know, some would say the way the match ended, how Raquel Rodriguez slammed Naomi's head into the apron, and then after that, there was the pin. Some have already seen or very, very critical of that finish, but I wouldn't be sure exactly, you know, what to say, but some would say that if it was another way, it would have been bad. But anyway, I mean, the bottom line is we have new champions. We have new women's tag team champions. I think the finish could have been a bit better. I wasn't really particularly thrilled about how the finish ended. I felt like it probably would have been better if it was Naomi or Bianca pinned after a Codebreaker or whatever. I felt it would have been better that way. But many would insist that would have made Bianca or Naomi look bad. But so I figured that some insist that the way the match ended was the best way to do it, but some insist otherwise. So there's really a 50-50 as far as reaction goes in this particular match. But I loved the match. I loved it. The finish was okay. It could have been better, but I have seen worse. So I'm definitely not gonna bury the finish, but I just didn't expect the finish to go that way, but I did expect Raquel Rodriguez and Liv Morgan to become the new WWE Women's Tag Team Champions. So that's where I'll leave that. So at this point, now I really got to give my quick predictions on Elimination Chamber in Toronto, Ontario, Canada. I mean, everybody knows my predictions. So obviously I have John Cena winning the Elimination Chamber, but of course my big prediction in that one is, of course, the whole thing with CM Punk and Logan Paul. Well, I believe that Drew McIntyre is going to be the first eliminated in this one. I believe that Drew McIntyre will be eliminated by Damian Priest. You know, I've even mentioned this. Could you imagine if Drew McIntyre is the first eliminated and he's eliminated by Priest, and then later on in the match, Drew McIntyre comes back and costs Priest the match as well? I mean, same thing can happen with Punk, so, you know, why not do the same thing with Drew McIntyre? Drew McIntyre costs Damian Priest the match later on after being eliminated, just like Logan Paul would do the same for CM Punk. Hey, I think that would be great. But I have John Cena winning the Elimination Chamber. As far as the Women's Elimination Chamber, so we have Liv Morgan, Bianca Belair, Alexa Bliss, Bayley, Naomi, Roxanne Perez. I don't know, honestly. I really don't know who my pick should be. Last week, I'm pretty sure I said Alexa Bliss. But if Alexa Bliss winning the Elimination Chamber, would it really make sense? Now, Alexa Bliss versus Rhea Ripley at WrestleMania would certainly be exciting. We all know we're going to see Bayley versus Roxanne Perez at WrestleMania. So, as far as Liv Morgan goes, I expect her and Raquel Rodriguez to defend the titles at WrestleMania. So, as far as Bianca Belair and Naomi goes, there's that story with Jade Cargill. So, I think that's why I have Alexa Bliss as the winner. So, let me say it again. I expect Liv Morgan and Raquel Rodriguez to defend the titles at WrestleMania. Bianca Belair and Naomi will continue that story involving Jade Cargill. And Bayley versus Roxanne Perez at WrestleMania is certainly going to happen. So, that only leaves out Alexa Bliss. So, that's why I have Alexa Bliss as the favorite. Trish Stratus and Tiffany Stratton versus Nia Jax and Candice LeRae. Not gonna lie, that's a match that I have zero interest in, and I know I sound like an asshole for saying that, but well, my pick is obviously Tiffany Stratton and Trish Stratus. I mean, it's Toronto's own Trish Stratus. So, Sami Zayn versus Kevin Owens. Now I'm excited for that, an unsanctioned match. Part of me believes it's going to end in a no contest, but do we really expect to see that in an unsanctioned match? I think Kevin Owens wins this one. But I think we're going to see Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn at WrestleMania. So that's why part of me believes that this is going to end in a no contest. So, I mean, I don't know what's going to happen, but I am excited for Sami Zayn versus Kevin Owens. But if it doesn't end in a no contest, or if it ends in a referee stoppage match, you know, the same way Kevin Owens won the NXT Championship from Sami Zayn, referee stoppage. I mean, if Kevin Owens does something similar, delivers like four or five consecutive power bombs, and then almost does it again, and then is stopped, and then the match ends via referee stoppage. Now, I don't know if that's going to happen in an unsanctioned match, but, you know, anything can happen. Anything can happen. Of course, aside from that, what I'm looking forward to see is Cody Rhodes deliver his answer to the people's champ, the final boss, The Rock. So, there's a lot to look forward to at the Elimination Chamber this week. I'm excited about it. Are you? Well, you should be. You should be. Ladies and gentlemen, as always, you can find Ringside Chaos on Spotify, Apple Podcast, iHeartRadio, Pandora, and YouTube. If you're listening on Spotify on your cell phone, and if you're watching on YouTube, please let me know your thoughts in the comments. What did you think of this episode of Monday Night Raw? What do you expect moving forward as far as storylines go? Let me know your picks for the Elimination Chamber. Let me know anything you have to say about this particular episode of Monday Night Raw. We have anything you expect to see in the foreseeable future? Ladies and gentlemen, as always, I am very curious to know what you have to say. And if you're listening on Spotify and or Apple Podcast, if you would please leave a 5-star review, it would certainly be appreciated. And one more time, ladies and gentlemen, if you will download the Zeno app and then look for 6ix9ine Radio. Of course, you'll find the Pipe Bomb Radio content there as well. 6ix9ine Radio is fantastic. It's a new concept being run by Ricky Litwinkiewicz, also known as the Master of Mayhem. Also, like I said, you can catch me later this week for an edition of Pipe Bomb Radio on the Zeno app. We will be going at 11 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, which is 10 o'clock my time. Thank y'all very, very much, ladies and gentlemen. Y'all have a good one, and God bless.
Stay warm and save every day. all in the Kroger app. Get select Post cereal or Kroger peanut butter for $1.49 each with a digital coupon. And we've lowered prices, save 15% or more on hundreds of items like Thomas Mini Bagels, Campbell's SpaghettiOs, and more. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.